T-Biz Podcast delivers tea news that you need to know. A recap of the week's major headlines with commentary and cultural trends hosted by Dan Bolton. It is the voice of origin for tea professionals and enthusiasts worldwide.
Tea is captivating, complex, and more intricate than anyone can fully master. That's why the T-Biz portal brings together 40 voices fluent in 12 languages to share the story of tea. Our strength lies in storytelling by professionals who have grown up in the tea lands and speak their native tongue. Hello, everyone. Here are this week's headlines. Shabnam Weaver will preside over both the U.S. and Canada Tea Associations. The African Tea Convention and Expo and the 70th anniversary of the Mombasa Tea Auction are scheduled for September. And 30,000 Senaleaf herbal tea bags were recalled in the U.S. Plus, Tarar Curated Tea. Edward Tea is a Berlin-based online tea company founded by tea sommelier Eduardo Molina that launched on December 17th. The selections are limited edition seasonal teas curated by Tarar. Collections are introduced quarterly, and loose-leaf teas are sold individually in 20-gram and 40-gram pouches or as a set of five. The initial collection is Edward Himalaya, sourced from Nepal, Darjeeling, and Sikkim. Selections are guided by sensory evaluation, stylistic balance, and how individual teas work together as a collection. Molina explains that success for Edward Teas is defined by the growth of a knowledgeable and engaged community, the ability to educate and inspire through storytelling, and establishing transparency as an industry standard. The first teas will ship in January. Distribution is limited to Germany right now, but will expand in the new year. More in a minute, but first, this important message.
What happens when businesses along the tea supply chain get together and support women and children in tea communities? The Mother and Child-Friendly Seal for Responsible Business is creating long-term positive impacts, making your cup of Ceylon tea all the sweeter. Learn more at srilanka-motherandchildseal.org.
Shabnam Weaver has been appointed President of the Tea Association of the USA, Inc., effective January 2, 2026. While continuing her role as President of the Tea and Herbal Association of Canada, THAC. The move places Weaver at the helm of both national tea associations at a time of heightened regulatory, trade, and sustainability focus for the industry. Weaver writes, quote, "I am honored by the trust placed in me and see this as a meaningful opportunity to build even stronger collaboration across North America and amplify the voice of tea," end quote. She brings more than 25 years of global tea industry leadership experience spanning association management, education, retail entrepreneurship, and international policy engagement. Since 2018, Weaver has led THAC through a period of significant transformation, rebuilding governance structures, strengthening fiscal discipline, expanding membership value, and repositioning the association as a credible international voice on sustainability, policy, and data-driven advocacy. At the global level, Weaver represents Canada at the United Nations FAO Intergovernmental Group on Tea, where she currently serves in multiple leadership roles, including vice chair, co-chair of the advocacy pillar, chair and co-chair of the Working Group on Tea and Health, and vice chair of the Working Group on Smallholders. These roles give her a unique vantage point across production, trade, health research, and smallholder livelihoods. Beyond association leadership, Weaver is the co-founder of the International Alliance for Women in Tea, launched in 2024 to advance equity and leadership development across the global value tea chain. She is also the creator of Canada's Tea Sommelier Certification Program and previously served as president of the Academy of Tea, which educated more than 1,200 students across 24 countries. Earlier in her career, Weaver founded the Tea Emporium in Toronto, gaining firsthand experience with the commercial realities of tea, from sourcing and quality to retail and food service. She succeeds Peter F. Gaggi, who retires December 31st after 14 years with the Tea Association of the USA and 47 years in the tea industry. Her dual leadership role signals closer alignment between Canadian and U.S. tea associations at a moment when trade policy, health research, and sustainability standards are increasingly interconnected across borders. The East African Tea Trade Association, EATTA, has formally announced that the 7th African Tea Convention and Exhibition will take place September 14 to 18, 2026, in Nairobi, Kenya. EATTA is the owner and operator of the Mombasa Tea Auction, the world's most prominent black tea and specialty tea auction, and a cornerstone of global price discovery for teas produced across East Africa. The 2026 convention will carry added significance as it will also mark the 70th anniversary of the Mombasa Tea Auction, one of the most enduring institutions in the global tea trade. The Mombasa Tea Auction was first held in Nairobi in November 1956. In 1969, the auction was relocated to Mombasa, where it evolved into one of the largest and most influential tea auction centers in the world, handling teas from Kenya as well as multiple neighboring producing countries. Over 7 decades, the auction has played a central role in shaping pricing, transparency, and trade flows for African teas. According to EATTA, the official event materials and the Africa Tea Convention 2026 website is being positioned as a major pan-African and international gathering for the tea value chain. Expected participants include producers, brokers, exporters, packers, regulators, logistics providers, technology firms, and global buyers. The 5-day format suggests a combination of conference sessions, exhibitions, policy dialogue, and structured networking consistent with previous editions. While full program details and venue specifics in Nairobi have yet to be released, EATTA has indicated that the convention will focus on trade connectivity, market innovation, stability, and Africa's strategic role in global tea supply chains, particularly as buyers reassess sourcing resilience and long-term demand trends. Business Insight. Tea professionals sourcing from or trading African tea should mark their calendars for September 14th to 18th. This convention could shape policy directions, export strategies, and brand engagement opportunities for African teas in 2026 and beyond. U.S. regulators issued a food safety alert this week following the recall of nearly 30,000 tea bags after potential salmonella contamination, underscoring persistent vulnerabilities in dry goods supply chains. The recall, announced by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, affects multiple retail channels in 6 states and Puerto Rico and has prompted renewed scrutiny of sourcing, packing, sanitation controls for import and domestically packed teas. While no widespread illnesses have been reported to date and no risk level has been disclosed, the FDA emphasized that salmonella can pose serious risks to children, the elderly, and immunocompromised consumers. Retailers were instructed to remove affected products immediately, and consumers were advised to discard or return recalled items. The items include Celebration Herbal Senna Leaf Herbal Tea in 24-bag boxes that were distributed to 1,226 retail units in November. The UPC is 628-240-201. 829. Senna tea is known to have a laxative effect and is often used as a remedy for constipation. States named in the recall include Florida, Indiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, Mississippi, New York, and Wisconsin. Business Insight. For the tea industry, the incident is a reminder that low moisture products are not low risk. Tea, herbs, and botanicals often pass through multiple hands from origin to blending to secondary packaging before reaching store shelves. Any breakdown in hygiene, pest control, or traceability can trigger costly recalls and reputational damage. Here are tea price trends from the world's major black tea markets for week 50, ending December 12th. In Colombo, the market remained firm. The weekly average held near recent highs, supported by tight availability of bright, high-grown teas and steady buying from the Middle East. Quality offerings were limited, which helped keep prices supported despite selective bidding. In South India, CTC prices were mainly steady. Kerala and Nilgiri's auctions saw consistent interest from blenders, with medium and good-liquoring teas finding ready demand as packers covered near-term requirements ahead of year-end. At Mombasa, the auction showed mixed results. Top BP1 grades were selectively dearer, while secondary teas met more resistance. Buyers remain cautious, but warehouse stocks are still below last year's levels, limiting downside pressure. Looking at market conditions, production remains uneven across origins. Sri Lanka continues to report lower leaf intake in some high-grown areas. Kenya's crop is improving seasonally, though fertilizer and fuel costs remain elevated. In India, higher electricity and labor costs are reinforcing price floors. On the demand side, year-end restocking continues in the Gulf and parts of Europe, while some buyers are already looking ahead to coverage in first quarter 2026. Now, the outlook. The overall tone is steady to firm. Colombo prices are expected to remain supported through December. South India's CTC is likely to trade within a narrow range, and Mombasa may continue to fluctuate week to week, but limited stock should help prevent any sharp decline. That's your tea price report for episode 229 of the Tea Biz podcast, covering week 50. And now, a word from this week's sponsor, Brew Maker One.
Hello, I'm Bogdan, a passionate tea drinker and the inventor of the ultimate tea machine, the Brew Maker One. Preparation is key to making fine tea. Sequential steepings deliver the best taste possible and unlock the true value of whole leaf teas and botanicals. Brew automates that process without using any pots or capsules. This simple-to-operate, smartphone-controlled device stores steeping profiles to consistently make great tea at the push of a button. Brew also reduces time, waste, and energy. That's because I engineered the brew to remember control settings for temperature, brewing time, and quantity. Using my patented process lets you stack, steep simply and conveniently.
Edward Tea is a Berlin-based online tea company founded by tea sommelier Eduardo Molina that launched on December 17th. The selections are limited edition seasonal teas curated by Terroir. Collections are introduced quarterly, and loose-leaf teas are sold individually in 20-gram and 40-gram pouches or as a set of five. The initial collection is Edward Himalaya, sourced from Nepal, Darjeeling, and Sikkim. Selections are guided by sensory evaluation, stylistic balance, and how individual teas work together as a collection. Molina explains that success for Edward Teas is defined by the growth of a knowledgeable and engaged community, the ability to educate and inspire through storytelling, and establishing transparency as an industry standard. The first teas will ship in January. Distribution is limited to Germany right now, but will expand in the new year. Eduardo Molina grew up in Chile, where tea is popular. He worked for several years in hospitality at major hotels in Santiago and with Crystal South America Cruises. He attended Chinese Culture University in Taiwan and holds a degree in Asian Studies from Humboldt University, Berlin. Work in tea includes founding the first tea school in Chile in 2013 and co-founding the Chilean Tea Academy in 2016. Eduardo joined Paper in Tea Retail in 2018 and worked there for 5 years as head of tea experience. I hear you just booked your first sales, Eduardo. Congratulations on launching Edward Tea, and thank you for joining us on this special day. I'm interested in your tea journey. Will you describe the steps in your career that led you to start a tea company?
I started tea very young. I've been drinking tea all my life. I come from Chile, the biggest tea drinking country in America, so we are big tea drinkers. I grew up drinking tea. But it wasn't until I was around 21 that I discovered specialty tea, high quality tea, different regions, different types. beyond the classic tea bag that we were enjoying in Chile. Since I discovered tea, I just wanted to know it all. I'm still trying to know everything. I think I will never manage to do so. And that's what keeps tea so interesting, because there is always something new to learn. My first contact with tea first was working in hospitality. So I started working at the Hotel Ritz-Carlton in Chile, in Santiago. That was kind of like my hospitality school. And my first contact with tea, with afternoon tea, doing the service of afternoon tea, pairing with pastries, with finger food, and so on. So my first approach was through hospitality. I worked in a couple of other hotels. I worked also in a cruise line for a couple of years also. And eventually I decided tea was my path. I started taking tea courses wherever I could. So I was in Argentina, in École du Thé in Paris. I was part of the first generation from the World Tea Academy. So I was one of the first tea specialists. And eventually, I also started to travel to Asia to learn about tea in its origin, visiting China, Japan, so all the typical countries. Traveling is one of the best ways you actually have to learn about tea, by living it, by experiencing, but meeting people, listening from firsthand. And eventually, I ended up in retail, tea retail, which is what gave me the tools beyond tea knowledge to have kind of like a business approach to what I want to do with tea, how I want tea, or how I think tea should be commercialized or presented. Ended up here in Berlin 8 years ago, joining another tea company, Paper and Tea. And also that gave me a completely different approach. My first experience was in South America, in a tea drinking country. My second experience is in Europe. It's a whole different market. Germany, a country that is starting to drink more tea, but doesn't have a super strong tea tradition, or like Camellia sinensis tradition. A lot of herbals, a lot of fruit blends. But so it's a different market, which is also very nice to discover how can you approach different customers, in a way. So basically, that's kind of like at the beginning, I focused a lot in learning about tea. And eventually, my working experience brought me to think tea in a more business way, which I'm super thankful, because otherwise I don't think I would have made a decision to start something on my own. I think this might actually work, because I've seen things in the past that worked, that people connected with, that people engaged. And I think that should be the way I should focus my this enterprise.
One thing I wanted to discuss with you is why Edward the Tea is named after you. I mean, it's personal. You see the brand as a personal statement.
My vision has not always been super accepted, but for me has always been very important, transparency. We are trying to be a bridge that wants to connect the tea makers with the tea drinkers. And I want people to be aware where the tea is coming from, who's making the tea, and what's their story. Why do they do what they do, and how do they do it? That's kind of like my whole vision, is to transparency. I want to tell the story of the teas to do that. One is I need time to talk about the teas. Yeah? And second is, in order to have time, I need to have few teas. Yeah, I cannot have 100 tea assortment. I cannot have a 200, 300, because otherwise I cannot give the attention that each tea needs. And I cannot tell the story because it's too many teas. So what we came up with is a collection. So for us, we have, what we're planning is 4 launches a year. So launches are very seasonal. So we launch a collection every 3 months, and that collection focuses on one specific region. We want to tell people, we want to tell tea drinkers, we want to tell new tea drinkers, the story of one specific region. I want them to learn what kind of people live there, how does the region look like, what languages they speak, what food they eat. I want them to have a good idea of where these teas are coming from and who made them. So we have 3 months. Our marketing is based in social media. Like nowadays, that's one of the best platforms of social media. Newsletters, that's kind of like our approach to tell the story of these 5 T's within 3 months. Yeah. So going from the region itself and going down in subregions and eventually into each producer and what's special about each tea. So 3 months to talk about 5 T's. In this case, we are starting with Himalaya. That's our first region. And we're bringing 5 T's from 3 sub-regions. So we have Eastern Nepal there, we have Darjeeling, and we also have Sikkim. Yeah, so it's these 3, and we want to tell those 3 stories. So that's kind of like my vision, few T's, long explanations, and also very important in a very visual way. One of our team members, she's a videographer, so we're really focusing in telling the story through video material, through picture, to make it as attractive as possible, because we want to capture and we want to captivate not just people that enjoy drinking tea. We want to make people curious about tea, even if they don't drink it. We want to awaken that curiosity and say like, hey, what is that? Oh, it looks beautiful. What such a nice landscape. I want to drink that tea.
Camellia sinensis is the main category, right, as opposed to herbal teas. Describe your focus, explaining what all of the collections have in common.
I'm a Camellia sinensis drinker. I have to recognize, but I don't. I would say I'm not close to only have Camellia sinensis. I think there are some regions in the world that are fascinating. I couldn't see. If I wanted to represent Africa in a way, skipping South Africa with rooibos or honeybush and with the herbals they have, I mean, or some regions with their spices. I think it's a matter. I will be looking into region by region case. Also because, tea drinkers in general, and especially in the German market, there is a big interest in herbals or in non-caffeinated options. So probably within the collections, there might also be like the herbal variety and plus for teas. It will always be more tea than herbals, but there will be every once in a while, there will be a surprise for those non-caffeinated.
When sourcing, do you consider plant diversity, the effects of monoculture, living wages, the benefits of intercropping, and sustainable and regenerative agricultural practices?
Well, first, regarding diversity in production, yeah, I think that's a super interesting topic. I think exactly as you're saying, producers need to diversify the crops that they are producing. I'm already tasting teas for October. And we are considering blends, but blends that are, I don't want to make blends. Now, what I want is I want to bring teas that might be blended with ingredients that come from a specific place, yeah, that can showcase what they can do, not just in terms of tea, but what other products they can combine tea with. So we are planning to have blends. In the first collection is only pure teas, but for the rest of the year, we already have 2 blends that have ingredients. It's tea blended with ingredients that are typical from the regions. So I think that point is extremely important. I think also for a more sustainable production, the introduction of other kinds of crops, as you were saying, the tea production can only benefit from it. Also in terms of aromas and flavors, how the plant developed itself, how the tea varieties that actually come from based on my experience, these are coming from more diverse environments, usually offer a bigger complexity in terms of aromas and flavors. So that's absolutely something that fascinates me. And that's something that I was also able to see in the Himalaya.
What is Edward's unique sales proposition?
Well, first of all, I like to think of our assortment as a mindful assortment. Yeah, we only have a small selection. We want people to, just as like us, we want people to focus just in these 5 T's for a moment. It's like, let's take the time to understand what's happening here. And we want to be, in a way, kind of like a curated selection. So people don't have to go into, I have to look for something. What is it that I might find that I might like? We have our selected for you. Here are 5 teas. They are all very different between them, although they come from the same region. Of course, we can find some things in common, but we try to choose 5 teas that are complement each other within the collection, going from light to more intense, and so on. What we launched today was what we call our early bird. So we're still working on the website and the product description of each tea. So at the moment, people can just access the whole collection. Now, eventually we will have each tea, and within each tea, there will be a page with a lot of picture material and video taken by us, not getting sent from the producer or not buying it in another platform. There is a QR code in each packaging that takes you to each tea's page where you can read more about the tea. We're also hosting an online tasting, so people can scan a QR code and subscribe to the specific tasting that fits their schedule. I want it to become like a moment where people can get together with friends or family.
How will you measure success?
There is always a chance that this might fail, but I feel super positive, super optimistic. I've been able to build a team of people that are really good in their field, people that have worked with me before, so we know how to work together.
Yeah.
And that has made it very easy for us to get to this point that within 3 months we were able to build this, because there was a lot of things that needed no explanation. We all were in the same frequency and we knew what was supposed to be done, how we wanted to do it. So I think that's very important, like to have a strong team behind you. It doesn't guarantee success.
Intrigued by what you heard in today's podcast? Would you like to learn more from our global network of T-Biz journalists and tea experts? Remember to visit the T-Biz website for more comprehensive coverage. That's www.t-biz.com. Thanks for listening. Farewell till next week.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.